amen. Praise the Lord for the special music we've enjoyed tonight. And praise the Lord for just an opportunity being in church on this midweek. If you have your Bible with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of 2 Kings and chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, we've been studying the life of Elisha, which is basically studying 2 Kings here. And Elisha is being used of God after he took the mantle from Elijah. We find that he has already accomplished quite a bit of things. He first of all was there and he was counseling the kings. And if it was not for Elisha being used by God to give the kings the counsel they needed, they would have perished in the wilderness there because of the water, the drought. But they listened to his counsel. They did exactly what he told them to do. And God gave them the victory. And then he went to a poor widow woman. And we find as he went there and God's using him, God is no respecter of persons, and he can counsel the kings and he can counsel the poor widows of the earth as well. And then he went to a more wealthy woman of Shunem, and the great woman, the wealthy woman of Shunem, and what a blessing it was there as we studied that last Wednesday night, and that was the unexpected blessing. We looked at the unexpected blessing for the woman of Shunem, who wanted to be a blessing to God's servant, was not expecting a blessing from God, was not expecting God to give her something that only God would know was her greatest desire, and that was a child. And we find that God, through Elisha, blessed her, an unexpected blessing. And so she was able to give birth to a child. And now we find in chapter 4, we continue on this story here in verses 18 to 37. And so if you'll stand with me tonight, we'll be reading this, starting in verse 18. We're going to find in tonight's study of Elisha the unexpected trials and the way to overcome them. Some of the unexpected blessings. She just looked to be a blessing, and God blessed her beyond her imagination. And tonight we're going to find that all of us are going to be facing some unexpected trials. And as we face them, we need to know exactly what to do in order to overcome those trials. And we'll find this tonight. So verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, "My head, my head." And he said to a lad, "Carry him to his mother." When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." And he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to her, and meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? And is it well with thy husband? And is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well." And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she called him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away, and the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me." Then she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, "The child is not awaked." When Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, "Take up thy son." Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, what a blessing it is to be in church. I thank you for each one that had the opportunity to come tonight and took advantage of that and that are here. And God, I pray that you would meet with us in a very special way. You know just what each one here has need of tonight. And I pray that you'd bless them tonight. And I pray that you'd anoint the preaching of thy word once again. Use it to present your message to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Wow, so much here in the passage of Scripture we just read. Right before this, we find there was a great joy and rejoicing over an unexpected blessing. And now we find that there's unexpected trials. First of all, we find that this miracle child that God had blessed this Shunammite woman with was out with her father at harvest time. Now, the Bible reveals to us some things about this. It was a harvest time. That means it was a very busy time of the year. And it was a time to rejoice, actually, because they were actually going out and harvesting, but the harvest, they had to get the harvest in. And so the boy, the Bible doesn't say how old the child was. It does say the child was grown, but a grown child, not a baby, is what it's talking about here. The child was old enough to go with his dad to view the reapers and looking to see what was going on and possibly rejoice with his father over the reaping of the crop that they had planted. And we know that he was old enough to go with him. He was also small enough for the servant to pick him up and carry him back and give him back to his mother. And then he was small enough for the mother to be able to hold in her lap for a few hours before he would pass away. And we also see that Elisha, when he asked about the family, he said, "Is the child all right? Is everything all right with you and everything all right with your husband? Is everything all right with the child?" And so he knew the family very well. And so this would have been a child somewhere old enough, we would say maybe between 6 and 10 years old. The Bible doesn't say exactly how old, but it does give us an indication that it was not a teenager. It was a more of a grown child there that we're talking about. But as he went out with his father to harvest, something took place, something very unexpected. And he developed, as we look at this, he was crying out for his head. And so today, as knowing the medical reasons for severe headaches like this that would lead to death, it was more than likely a brain aneurysm. And he was experiencing this brain aneurysm in his head, and he was just had tremendous pain. And before it was all over, the boy had died from a brain aneurysm. That's what we gather as we read this story. His mother, as soon as he had passed, she realized this. And the mother's faith and determination is what helped her to overcome the unexpected trial. First of all, we find her faith in verse 21. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Now, I can't imagine all that was going through the mind of this lady. Now, later on, when she does finally get with Elisha, she said, "Did I not tell you I didn't need anything? I really didn't want it. I didn't have to have a child. I'd already come to grips with the idea that I was not going to have a child. Did I not tell you? I did not come to you, Elisha, and ask you to bless me with a child. And I ask you not to deceive me. If you're going to give me a child, I would not think that God would take this child away so soon." that was going on inside of her. But as she laid this baby down, she didn't panic and she didn't lay it down in her bed, but she took this baby, this child that she knew came from God through the man of God, Elisha, and she took the child back to where she was given the child. I love that. I love that thought. Put him where she had received him. Something like this happens, you realize, as Job would say in Job chapter 1 and verse 21, that the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. But praise the name of God. She wanted to realize that she had this child by a miracle of God. And if some reason God would choose to bring this boy back to life again, and that was her desire, then she would have to give him back to God. The Lord doth give, and the Lord doth take it away. God knows exactly what the reason, the purpose for every gift that He gives us. He knows exactly what's taking place and where it's going to go from here. And we find the faith of this woman to realize, first of all, that I need to give him back to God, because the only one that could love him more than I do is the one that gave him to me, and that's God. And she takes him to Elisha's chamber, where she got him because she had the chamber built for Elisha to be a blessing to Elisha, not because she wanted the child, not because she was looking for some blessing from God, but she just wanted to be a blessing. And because of her wanting to be a blessing, then God blessed her. And so she's trying to make sense out of everything that's going on and can't understand. She didn't ask for the child. The child was given to her because God knew her heart. And she had not stopped. She had been actually going, if you will, to church. She had been, because the husband, when she asked for a servant, and it was harvest time, all the servants were busy and all the mules were being worked. But yet she asked him to give her a servant and a mule to be able to go. And he said, wait a minute, it's not Sunday. Basically, that's what he was saying when he said unto her, if you look back there with me, he said, I pray thee, he said, where thou goest to him? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Because they would actually get together on the new moon to certain days, and on Sabbath they'd get together. And so evidently he said, now she'd been faithful, and it's not time to go to church. It's not time to go to the man of God and hear what God has to say at this particular time. And so in her own mind, she's saying, and even her husband verifies that she's still doing everything that she did before. As far as she knew, there was no sin in her life. It was not a judgment. It was an unexpected trial. An unexpected trial. So she, first of all, had faith. The worst thing you could do when you face an unexpected trial is to panic. The worst thing you could do is start letting the imagination of the mind get carried away. And start imagining all these things, and before you know it, you're making it worse and not better. If you're facing an unexpected trial, the first thing you want to do is look within and make sure that this is not judgment. There is no sin that God is judging me for, and that's the first thing I look to. If I look at everything else is in place, I've already turned him back over to God and said, God, he's your child first. Before he was mine, he was yours. And so you put it back in God's hands. And you start praying and asking God, what would you have me to do? And evidently, God told her what to do. And we'll see that a little bit more in just a minute. But God told her what to do. And so she goes to her husband and says, I've got to go find Elisha, the man of God. So she kept her faith. The Bible tells us to bring every thought unto the obedience of Christ. That means don't let your imagination get carried away. Don't panic. Keep your faith. Look to God. And then her determination. The mother's faith and determination to overcome this trial. The determination is found in verse 22 and verse 23. She knew what to do. It was an urgent, it was of an urgency that she would do something. But she didn't just start going around and crying and blaming and everything else. She wanted to get to the source of her help. Wanted to get closer to God. If you look down to verse 30, and in verse 23, she tells him, "It shall be well." I love that. She was not panicked. She said, "I know God has revealed to me what I need to do. You go ahead and tend to the harvest. I'll take care of this. It's going to be all right." She knew that the son had come to her. She knew that his son had this migraine or this pain in his head. He didn't know exactly what was going to take place right after that. Now, he's busy at harvest. He's probably trying to figure out, is it something that I need to stop and pay attention to? She says, "You continue. It's going to be all right. I know what God would have me to do. Just do your part. Give me a mule. Give me a servant. And let me go." She was determined to make sure that she completed what God told her to do. Now down to verse 30. When she gets there and Elisha is going to send his servant Gehazi, this is what she says. And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." She said, "I'm not going back unless you go with me. I didn't come here for your servant to take this on him. God told me to come to get you," basically. She was determined to see it through, to do everything that God told her to do. Can I tell you that she somehow knew that Elisha would need to go back with her, and she says the very same words that Elisha had said to Elijah, because God told him, "Whatever you do, don't let Elijah out of your sight." And I think those words, her saying exactly what God told her to say to Elisha, spoke loudly to Elisha, and that's why he went back with her. If you remember 2 Kings chapter 2, when we were studying the life of Elijah, and after Elisha knew that he was going to follow in the steps of Elijah, he was going to be the next prophet in the land. But the Bible said, and Elijah knew this as well as Elisha knew this, God had told both of them, "Don't let him out of your sight." And Elijah knew that and tried to somewhat bait him into turning away. He's saying, "I'm not the one calling you to take my place, and so I pray you stay here. God's told me to go somewhere." If you will, down to verse 4, the Bible says this, "And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me." You can tarry here. You don't have to come. It's not me who has told you to follow me. If you're following God's directions, then you better go and stay with me, because God has called you. I'm not calling you to be a prophet, to follow in my footsteps, but if God has, you better do what God told you to do. And so he says, and he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." I love that. Because that's not just a coincidence there. That's something that the Bible reveals that this lady said, and probably if she had said it any other way, Elisha would not have connected what God had done to him to what God is now doing to her. And if God told me that I was not to leave Elijah, but I was to stay with him no matter where he went, and now this lady is telling me that she will not leave me because God told her to stay with me and not leave me out of her sight, then I must go with her. But she was determined. She knew what God had her to do, And she was determined to follow through. Wow. Same words. So the mother's faith and determination to overcome. And now let's focus our time here on Elisha, because it would have to do with Elisha's faith and determination to overcome this as well. Not only did God use this as an unexpected trial in this woman's life, this was an unexpected trial for Elisha. Look at verse 26 and verse 27. He sees the Shunammite woman coming. He said, "Now run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, 'It is well with thee. Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child?'" He says, "Why is she coming? She's coming urgent and at high speed. There's something going on here. I'm the prophet of the land. I should know what's going on. But I don't know what's going on. This has to be her husband or the child. Go find out if all things well." And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. And Gehazi came near to thrust her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her." He's seen something within her. "And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me." Now, Elisha, being the prophet of God, especially in the Old Testament and how they represented God, it was very unusual for the prophet not to know what was going on when it came to spiritual battles. Amen? It was very unusual that Elisha would say, "You know, I don't know what's going on here. As far as I know, God has blessed her. He blessed her husband. And because they were so good to me, God has given them this child." As far as Elisha was thinking, this child should live a full life. They ought to be blessed for some time to come. He said, "I don't know why God has hid this from me. There's something here for me to learn. There's a trial in this for me." That would have been Elisha's thinking right there when he says this. He would have believed that her son would have lived a full life, but an indication that there was a trial involved for Elisha. So if I find here in verse 29, "Then he said to Gehazi, 'Gird up thy loins and take my staff and thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child.'" Elisha's first attempt to heal this child. No doubt he had done this before. "Take my staff. Make this a priority in your life, Gehazi. This is an urgent request, and you're going to go in my stead. And you're going to take my staff, and you're going to put my staff on this child. And by putting my staff on this child, then God will raise this child from the dead. God will heal this child." Now, he would not have done that if he had not done that before. And so we find that the first attempt that Elisha has is just to do what he had been doing and using his servant and using his staff and sending him to go take care of this. Make it a priority. This is urgent. Don't stop. Don't talk to anybody. Go and do as I've said. In the meantime, the woman of Shunammite woman says, "That's not going to do it. I'm not going back with your servant. God told me to come and bring you back." And so then he follows afterwards. Now his servant's gone. This woman explains it to him. So now he's packed, and now the mother and Elisha is heading back. Time they get there, Gehazi had come out, and he said, "Didn't work. Put the staff over him. Nothing's changed." So Elisha's second attempt. Look at verse 32. Elisha was coming to the house. Behold, the child was dead. Laid upon his bed. It was his chamber. He's more than likely thinking back about how this all came about, how that this woman had blessed him, and he had been used by God to bless this woman with this child, and now the child is laying on his bed, and the child's dead. Trying to make sense out of it. Unexpected trial. Have you ever had to have something happen to you, and you're trying to make sense out of it? And he, first of all, look, I trust that you understand that there is judgment. Is there something going on that I need to change? God, is there something in my life that I need to confess or that I haven't committed to that you want me to commit to? Is there something going on? I just can't understand because this trial comes out of nowhere. What's happened to you is unexpected. I didn't see it coming. It not only happened to the Shunammite woman, but it happened to one of the servants of God. And so now we find Elisha is trying to figure out what is happening, for my staff should have been enough. But the child is still laying here dead. So, verse 33. He went in, therefore, shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. Amen. That's determination. That's saying, I'm not going to let this trial defeat me. I'm going to go to the one who understands what's going on, and I'm not going to come out of this prayer closet until I know exactly what God is doing through this trial in my life. Amen. He didn't let the mother come in. He didn't let Gehazi come in. It was Elisha, the dead boy, that was the unexpected trial now in his life. And there was God. You know, shut the door. Everything else, I don't care how important you might have thought it was before, when you're dealing with that kind of unexpected trial, you shut everything else out. You get it out of your mind. Get it off your heart. Don't even think about it. Listen, until you get things settled with God, you can't help anybody else. Until you get the understanding that God is working in your life, until you have that peace about what's going on in your own life, don't expect to be used to help somebody else. Don't expect to be carrying on your regular duties. No, you get alone with God and that trial, you see, and you pray to Him. Unexpected trials are going to come. We have to have the determination to get the victory over any trial that comes into my life. The way to do it is to go to the one who controls the trials in our lives. Put them all out. Shut the door behind them. Wow. The second attempt. What did he pray? You know, the Bible doesn't tell us. I would love to have been there just to hear. What was he going to say? The Bible tells us that he put everybody else out and it was him in there praying to God. It could have been things that he was saying that he did not want anybody else to hear, because he was the prophet that everyone looked to, and yet he was dumbfounded. He did not know what was going on. It was an unexpected trial in his own life, and he possibly could have said, Lord God, what's going on? Something like that. Just being real. You know, when we come into other people and we want to find out, how much do they know? And how much do they know? And what should I say about this? Because I need to know what they understand. So let me test the waters. Let's ask a couple of questions to find out just what they know about what's going on over here and what's going on over there. And so I know just how to say what to say here and what to say there. And before you know it, man, you're so confused about everything else and you never know what you're going to say. Now, when you get along with God, understand this. He knows more than you know. He understands more than you understand. Just be real. Just get alone with God so that you're putting out everybody else. You don't have to think about what's on anybody else's mind, what anybody else knows about what's going on, and get real with God. You know, I pray something like this, Lord, you know me better than I know myself. God, help me to know me. Help me to know what's going on inside of me. You don't know how many times I've prayed that prayer in my prayer closet. Because the only one, if I don't know what's going on inside of me, I guarantee you, the only one that knows what's going on inside of me is God. And there have been several times that I've gone alone because of trials, and I want to get the victory over this, and I've just got to get real with God and say, God, you know what's going on. And God, I know where could have done better, and I know my shortcomings, and I know this, and I know that. He said, I'm not confessing those types of things to anybody else, but God already knows it, and I need to get it out in the open. It's just you and God, and knows, and already know that He knows. But He wants you to know that you know what He knows. Amen. Don't try to hide it. Get along with God. So we find here that I think it was all over. I think he would have said something like this, though. Lord, make your will known to me. Help me to know what I'm to get through this and what I am to do to help this woman that was a blessing and to do what needs to be done to bring this child life. Yeah. Doesn't say what he said. It just tells us he prayed after shutting everybody else out. That was the second attempt. There was a third attempt. After he spent that time praying, and sometimes you just pray and God would wake the boy up right then and there. That would have been it. That wasn't the case. Verse 34, the Bible says, and he went up. Now this is after he's in there alone, after he's been praying for a while. Then he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. The third attempt, he started seeing God working. Now, if you do what this Elisha would have done to this boy, your own body heat would have heated up the boy's body. He's not woke up. He's not alive yet. But after he prayed, we find now the third attempt is to go in there and just do what he just did. Now, maybe that was God told him to do exactly. I think he did, or he wouldn't have done that. But he wanted to put everything he had into the life of this boy. And somehow connecting with this boy was something that did something for Elisha's inside, and now Elisha's connecting with this boy and understanding all about the past of this boy and the past of everything that's taken place. And this would have been something that would have God would have used to help Elisha to learn what he was there to learn. But it's the third attempt. But with this, he started to see, I believe, God working. At least in the boy's body temperature starting to wax warm. But then there was a fourth attempt. Do we give up too soon? How many, after you've done all that, you've prayed, you've done everything you can, and you first of all sent the staff, and you sent your servant, then you went in, you've been praying and walking around praying, and then you put all your whole body into it, and you're doing everything you know, and would you have stopped then? One of the things that we need to do that we fail too often is be persistent. Yeah. We give up too soon. Satan gets a victory over the unexpected trials because we have not taken it as far as we can take it. The fourth attempt, verse 35. Then he returned. Okay, so after he did that, then he got up to see if the boy was going to wake up. The boy didn't wake up. Verse 35. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times. Now, stretched himself, he walked again. He's walking, communicating with God. He walked to and fro the house. Who knows what he's saying? The Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible doesn't say everything that took place, how long he walked to and fro. But after he had spent some time walking to and back and forth in the room, it's still just him and God and the trial. And he went back and somewhat did the same thing he did before. But this time, the boy revived. Yeah. Wow. And the child sneezed 7 times. And the child opened his eyes. 4th attempt. Didn't give up. Had faith that it could happen. Was persistent in getting the victory over the unexpected trial that he was facing. From time to time, we will face unexpected and sometimes unbelievable trials. No human understanding of it. No human reasoning for it. Unbelievable. But nevertheless, a trial. And God controls the trials of our lives. We must keep the faith and be determined to get the victory. In closing, Mark chapter 9, we look at this usually in the month of April, and we have our prayer and fasting awareness month, because we know that sometimes we stop at prayer, and if you just stop at prayer, you've not done all that you can do, because God gives us a help or an extension to prayer called fasting. Fasting doesn't work until you first of all prayed and have the faith and the determination to do more than just pray. The disciples had been casting out demons until it came to this one, and they couldn't do it. Jesus cast him out. Verse 28, and when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Why can't I get the victory in this trial? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Certain trials, unbelievable trials, unexpected trials are going to come. And we're not going to get the victory unless we are determined to get it. If you're determined, you will get the victory in any and every trial that God allows to come into our lives. What a great biblical principle we learn from Elisha and the Shunammite woman's dead child. He come back to life. The victory for both of them, the Shunammite woman as well as Elisha, because they had faith and they were determined to get the victory. Amen. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Faith and determination to overcome. I didn't say that you're going to see God work a miracle every time. Sometimes we overcome by being able to accept God's will for whatever the trial that was brought into our lives. But accepting God's will brings God's peace and God's inner joy that nothing else can. Faith and determination to overcome. Not going to have a musical invitation. Very seldom do we on Wednesday nights, but there's always an invitation. There's an opportunity right now. God's speaking to you. If you have need to come for whatever reason, maybe you need to bring a trial, an unexpected trial that you're experiencing right now to this altar. Maybe you need to spend some time with God to know what He'd have you to do to be able to overcome it. Anyone else, you need to come tonight. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. We thank You, Lord God, as we come out in on this Bible study and study this life of Elisha and be able to apply biblical principles that You've given to us through Christ. Lord, I pray that we would learn this tonight and we would always be looking to deal with every trial, whether it's something that we expected or unexpected, with faith and determination to overcome. Now, I pray, God, that You bless each one that's made a decision tonight that came looking for help. I pray that You'd help them. Now, as we get ready to leave, I pray that You'd watch over us, get us all home safely tonight, bring us back at the next appointed hour, in Jesus' name.